Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Welcome to a late night edition. Because this is really showing Black Fault why we're starting late. Welcome to a late night edition of the Absolute Truth Show by the Blog Talk Radio. I can't take the blame. I'm the hot rod. I'm the host with the most. I am the king of king himself. I don't get blamed, okay? Just keep that in mind.
Yes, I understand.
And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again. For the last time in October before Halloween.
Ooh. You know what? That was scary coming from you. I'm sorry. You really need some help. I will pray for you tonight. Even though I don't go to church, but I will pray for you tonight.
Well, we know the reason why. If you went to church, you probably burst into flames.
That's I'm so far right now. Okay. I'd like to apologize to everyone that we normally start at 10:30, but tonight is 11 o'clock. It is a shorter show because there's a lot of going on in our lives because Sean Black told me he needs to get laid, so I'm like, I want Sean Black to get laid by his toy doll, whatever he got at home. Well, besides that, the number to call in for questions or comments. If anyone out there listening right now live or to curse us out, the number is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean, tonight, are you ready to speak what's on your mind?
Why not?
Well, right.
I guess we take a break from pissing people off.
Yeah, let's take a break. But you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that. Before I go to your rant of the week, let me go to my rant of the week first.
Go ahead.
Talk about pissing people off. Apparently, on last week's show, when we talked about Harvey Weinstein and his sexual assaults or whatever you want to call it, people had left me messages on our group chat live how it sounded like we're a bunch of hypocrites, especially me, how the high rise always cracking sexual jokes, especially our female counterparts, especially Anisha B, which is like almost every day I crack up sexual innuendos or jokes on Anisha B. Here I am talking about criticizing Harvey Weinstein, but at the same time, I'm cracking sexual jokes on females. Does that make me sound like a hypocrite or an oxymoron? Well, to the people out there, I'm not going to mention names because that's not me. I'm not snitch like Sean. But to the people out there listening, Sean Black know me for basically more than half our lives. Anisha B and I have been friends for like give or take 5 years. Anyone know me, I tell like it is. I speak what's on my mind. Sometimes I say things out of context. Sometimes I say things too, straightforward. That's the way I am. But I think Sean Black will vouch for me if you want to or not. If I ever say anything offensive to anyone, and that person will tell me, Ronnie, I did not like what you said, I find that offensive, I will apologize. If you're a friend, if it's someone I don't like, I don't care. I'll just say it to your face.
That is true.
that's the way I am. But as a friend, if Sean Black ever told me, Rodney, Hot Rod, I did not like that statement you made about me or my family, cool, no problem. I apologize. Let's move on. Boom. If I say it again, it's not on purpose because everyone know I'm old. I can't remember anything anymore. And I talk out of my ass sometimes. So, but as for Harvey Weinstein, the difference between him and my special in the window jokes is those jokes. I don't go out grabbing Anisha by the vagina or grabbing any females like that. I'm not using my quote-unquote power. So for the woman empowerment, I always encourage females to do what they want, to say what they want. It does that, you know, Sean knows when we have that office talk or when we joke around a lot, men always say things that's vulgar. And we always find it all the time between us. And sometimes females are like that too, to a certain degree. Even my job, I always tell female, if I always say something out of context, please let me know. You know, sometimes you know who to talk to about something and who not to talk to about certain subjects. And it's like that with me most time with some people. Well, as for Harvey Weinstein, he used his power to get what he wanted. I got no power. I got nothing. I got no money. I'm broke. I got two kids. But for Harvey Weinstein, he used power. He used ego. His ego got away to get what he wants. And eventually, all the nonsense, all the stuff he did caught up to him. So for the females that's finally coming out and saying of what he did to that lady, I start to understand now, and I start to praise the females that's finally coming out, because back then, I'm sure they had the reason why they could not say anything. Like Sean said in the past, maybe they might not believe them. Like, who will take your story, a nobody, compared to a powerhouse like Harvey Weinstein? You know, so that's all I need to say about that. I don't know, I'm not going to apologize to anyone. I did not offend anybody. But just keep in mind, the conversation between Anisha and I, or me and any other female, that's between us. And if you have a problem with our sexual jokes, please still watch the show. Please listen to our show. Don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes you just need to loosen up, you know? That's all I need to say. And you, Sean?
Well, I'll piggyback on that before I get into my editorial, so to speak. But I think we as males and females, we already know there's a lot of going back and forth of what you can, what you cannot say, the things that you should say, the things that you shouldn't say. We've heard about all of the racial humor that people have between particular races, certain things that you can say that are people that are very sensitive to certain comments. And I think we have to get to a point where, as a society, we either can lightheartedly joke about certain things amongst ourselves without it being a problem, or we can't. And you have to be sensitive to certain things at the same time, taking into account who you're talking to, who you're talking with, and the actual context of the conversation. So I'm not sure if the people that have heard the jokes that you and Anitra have against each other have any issues with you or anything that you've said. If they do, you kind of understand where that comes from. That's between you two as far as a personal jab, joking. Now, I'm pretty sure if anybody else that you didn't know said anything about Anitra in that way, you would jump down their throat. So,
of course. I'm very protective of all my female friends. That's one of my flaws, because that's the way my father raised me. Always protect your female friends. If anything, say, Anitra B could defend herself. She has a mouth. We know that. She's Italian.
Yes.
You know, she's part of the mafia. You didn't hear that from me. But besides that,
you're going to take this subject somewhere where it doesn't belong.
I can't help myself. I'm the hot rod. But
I understand.
Anitra could defend herself, but you know me, I curse anyone out in a heartbeat. I'm like you said, there's a time and place for everything, and I know who to say to what. If a complete stranger, I'm not going to call that person a female, a bitch. And there's some females that are friends with me, I don't call them a bitch. Because I have respect for them to that certain degree, but I know sometimes they take the word bitch too seriously. Same way, once again, we talk about this subject many times. When someone call you the N-word, some people don't like the N-word, some people do. Unfortunately, these young people, they use the N-word as part of the vocabulary. And every two words, you hear the N-word.
Yes.
When I hear it, I hate it, but you know what? That's where they are. That's, as long as you don't call me that word, I'm okay. You know, and I have old white men that use it and were in front of me as a reference. I held myself back and cringe a little bit. I'm like, you know what? He did not call me the N-word. And he has that old school mentality. I'm talking about like 60s, or they use the N-word, like, you know, in a different way back then.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm not going to curse the guy. I'm like, you know what? Should I be using that word, blah, blah, blah. It's his life. He said to me, he did not call me the N-word. If he calls somebody else the N-word, good luck to you. You get shot. Easily.
Good grief.
Hey. But, Sean, rant of the week. His old post is about Donald Trump, Mr. Number 45. And lately, it seemed like, once again, how many times you want to leave Donald Trump alone, he finds something that he did or said that made people go like, really? 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 Okay. Unfortunately, we have a fallen show. I can't even say the word today. Sean, take over. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
remember, this is a short show, so
I know. For those that have known for the last 8 days, I want you to remember the name Sergeant LaDavid Johnson. This is a person in the military who was a sergeant who was ambushed and killed as one of four soldiers killed in an ambush attack in Niger. The issue, which we probably have heard ad nauseum over the last 8 days, is that the wife of, or the widow, I should say, of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson got a call from President Trump, which is one of the parts of the job that I would never want to have, to call somebody, whether they're a Gold Star general, whether they're a sergeant, whether they're a staff sergeant, whatever they are in the service, and get that call to let you know that, I'm sorry, your son has passed, your husband has passed, your daughter, et cetera, et cetera. That's a hard job in and of itself. So I don't envy that part of the job from Donald Trump. But see, here is the problem. When you have somebody who is in office that seemingly, based on his behavior, has absolutely no empathy toward people that are not Donald Trump or are like Donald Trump or in the same tax bracket as Donald Trump, he comes across doing certain things in a very cold, callous, disgustingly, brutally cold way. Apparently, the issue stems from him calling the widow of LaDavid Johnson, Myesha Johnson, and basically saying, for lack of a better term, well, he knew what he got himself into, but it's still sad. You don't tell this to somebody who is grieving the loss of a loved one and basically almost rubbing it in the face of the person, regardless of what the person is saying. And this is part of the bigger reason that Donald Trump has so many negative stories against him. We've talked about all of the things in the past that, that he has done. We've talked about all of the things that he has tried to do to erase the previous administration from the record books, from the recollection, from anything that has happened, from Obama's legacy that he's left in the previous 8 years. And then we go to these little things that cleared up with just a simple call. The way I stated in the previous call didn't work. I apologize. Your son is still a hero, and leave it at that. No. What happens is now he's gotten into an argument, a shouting match, over the veracity of a condolence call. And this is at the heart the problem with the administration, especially with Donald Trump. My issue is if you have some sort of bottom line, you leave that line there and you don't cross it. Gold Star, heroes, anybody that served in the military, anybody that has a disability, anything along those lines, you leave it alone. And it has gotten worse and worse and worse because Donald Trump cannot be wrong at any situation. And now this makes it worse because he's dragging the family into this, and he's basically telling the person involved that the widow who was on the other end of the call is lying. So now you make it look even worse because now you've got this whole big thing hovering over the head. When does this stop? I tell you when it stops. It doesn't. And the reason why is because whether we like it or not, unless something happens between the investigations with the Russia collusion trials and all the other things that are going on, Donald Trump will be president of the United States until at least 2020. And then...
Sean got a countdown already?
Yes, the countdown has begun. And in this short amount of time that Donald Trump has been president of the United States, we have seen him dismantle so many things. He has destabilized the opinion of the United States in the eyes of the rest of the world. And allies that look to the United States are now looking in a different way, maybe in a permanent basis, because now we know that Donald Trump, who is now the president, usually because of what he says is a liar, which means he cannot be trusted. There was another story that broke not that long ago about Donald Trump getting into a conversation with another person that passed away. I think it was a veteran, and there was a story that he talked to him on the phone, and he felt so sorry and felt bad for him that he was going to cut him a $25,000 check to help him in his struggles, in a check that he never actually sent. This was months ago. This is months before this particular incident happened. So there are so many different layers to everything that happens, but the overarching story is, and this is the saddest thing, is now we're a nation that has to deal with the fact that Donald Trump, as our president, has so many different things and facets to him that are not only boorish, disgusting, overbearing, not even just towards women and other races, but to the stability of relationships with other cultures and other countries and businesses, other things that are happening in the government and all the other programs that are involved. And the saddest part about this is there has to be a way to get around this or cope with it, because it seems like it's going to get worse before it gets any better.
Okay. Are you done?
I am done.
You're done? Are you sure?
Yes. I am 100% done with this subject right now.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing, as Sean would like to say. Yes, President Trump used the term. Oh, first, I want to give a shout-out to a friend of ours. I will keep his name out of the loop. He served in the armed forces. Excuse me. He's listening to the show right now. The lady, Maisha Johnson, right? The wife.
Yes.
When she got the call from the president, he knew what he signed up for. I'm sure that those words was crazy for her to hear. But for Donald Trump to say that, should we be surprised by this? And basically, why is this such newsworthy? Is the news blowing this out of proportion? Is this something that does a miscommunication that has happened, that the media is taking it out of proportion? Basically, this is fake news.
If this was something along the lines of a miscommunication, if it was taken out of context, all the president has to do, especially if he heard all of the negative publicity that he has got, which doesn't matter to him, because any publicity for President Trump is good publicity for Donald Trump in his eyes, because he's talking about it on the news. But if it was just a matter of I was taken out of context, this is all he had to say. The previous call that I made may not have sounded the way I wanted to convey as much of a hero as your husband was to the country he served. He will be remembered, et cetera, et cetera. They could have done a call. He could have made a call like that and apologized, made sure it didn't sound so cold and callous. But here is another facet to this deal. Maisha Johnson went on one of the TV news programs earlier this morning and basically stated that the president didn't even remember the David Johnson's name when he called to talk to her in this condolence call. Yet
okay.
He went on Twitter and said, well, it was a great call and there were no problems involved and I did what I could And she stated, from her quote, "It made me cry because I was very angry at the tone of his voice and how he said it. He couldn't even remember my husband's name."
But, okay, from that point, why people should be surprised if he does not remember the name, the letters right in front of him? This is Donald Trump. We all know that he doesn't care.
We have
to
get past that. This is the thing. I keep going back to that statement.
I'm sorry. A lot of people don't see that way. We just have to move on. You know, we all know he doesn't care. Like, if you call
Donald,
me John Black,
Donald
you call
Trump
me to wish
won't
me.
Allow anybody to move on because he continues to deface the people that he's supposed to be either protecting or at least showing that he cares about. Now, what I will give you on this topic is most people think that the presidency is supposed to make the man, and instead of the man making the presidency. If you were already damaged getting the job, all the presidency is going to do is intensify and highlight that person's qualities on a larger scale. We've seen people of dignity. We've seen people of reverence. We've also seen flawed people as president. And what that does is it just highlights what that person's personality is. Where we looked at President Barack Obama, whom for the most part, outside of a lot of people that either hated the party or blatantly racist, looked at Obama as a person of class, of reverence and peace. People that looked at President Clinton looked at him as somebody who was a little closer to the people, somebody that knew what the people wanted, but yet was a hippie, which a lot of people looked at. Richard Nixon, crook. That's what most people think of. And when you get in office, it was shown not only was he a crook, but he was also a racist. And those were intensified as he became president. When you look at Donald Trump, we've had this conversation before. Am I surprised? No. That's not the issue here. It's not the fact of feeling surprised. It's the fact that this behavior has become normal now, and it should never, ever feel like a normalized emotion when you're dealing with that kind of thing, because it's not normal for somebody to criticize somebody during a condolence call and then to go on Twitter and basically dispute the fact that the other person is saying this and saying that, and then lying about it for the most part. This has pretty much been a he said, she said deal, but we know based on past behavior how this turned out. President
Are
Trump
you done?
Has done something different. Yes, I'm
Are you,
done.
Are you done? Are you done?
Yes,
can,
I am done.
Can I talk? Can I talk?
Yes, you can talk. Yes, you can talk.
This is my show, not your show.
Yes, you can talk. I give you permission to talk.
Oh, thank you. Before I go to Brother B, I just got a message now that drama sell products. Maybe the way Donald Trump is acting this way because, once again, drama sell products, and with every reaction, you get a reaction to it, and this is what's happening. For the last 10 months, all the stuff he's doing, there's a reaction to it, and if it's working, why not? Well, Brother B, go ahead.
He's even speechless.
930.
Hello.
Oh,
hey,
I'm supposed to be. Is Milton S already?
I guess he got it at the right time.
Yeah.
Did you pull a Nancy Kerrigan or Tanya Harding on Brother B before he got up on the air?
I can either confirm or deny that.
Of course.
It is what it is. So, are we supposed to be shocked that the devil does evil things? No.
Of course.
You can't be appalled by it. I mean,
but
let's be honest.
But it's entertaining, though, right? People find it entertaining.
No. Actually, it's not. He's a fuckboy. He's doing fuckboy shit. It's disgusting. He not only insulted that man, he insulted his wife, his daughter, the congresswoman that stood up for him. He insulted every black person that's in the military. Now and previously.
And he's also insulted pretty much the entire military with that explanation as well.
But
to be honest, every black person should pull out the military now because of this motherfucker right here. Let's just be honest.
Here we go.
Listen, he shouldn't be in the first place, but I digress. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, Milton, are you trying to say that black people should not be fighting in the military of the United States?
Hell no. For what?
Because people have their rights to go fight in the military, to fight for what they believe in.
I understand that, but this is the thing, Ronnie. What has America fought for the black people for? Nothing. We give, we don't get in return. So fuck them.
So what about the people that suffer right? What about the people that suffer right now? What do you tell them?
I tell them to get out. That's what I tell them. And that was before Donald Trump got in there. This just accentuates the said point. Because obviously, number one, you got a fool as your leader. You know what I'm saying? And number two, he obviously doesn't give a shit about your black ass. And that's obvious.
And here's another quick thing to piggyback on something that you just stated. I saw an interview that Senator John McCain said, and he basically said that it's kind of disgusting that a lot of the service were recruiting underprivileged men and women to get them to fight their wars.
Yeah.
And when they came back, there was absolutely nothing
like
there for them. So it was like we used you for our war, and then when you get back to the light, there's nothing there
exactly.
for you. And this
and
is
you
coming
know
from
what,
Senator John McCain, Mike.
And Sean, listen, I work in Queens every day. I see military recruitment on Steinway Street, which is predominantly Hispanic, poor and working class people. I see military recruitment in Jamaica, a last stop on the E train, last stop on the J train, predominantly African American, poor working class up there. They know who they're going for. They know they're poor. They know they're struggling. Take advantage of them. We'll give you the hopes and dreams of trying to make something out of your life. Put your life on the line and die for America.
So you're basically saying that they are recruiting young black, Hispanic, or young minority men and women.
And poor white people as well.
So basically poor people or lower class people. Go out there and die for this country for basically no reason.
Right.
For hope.
Exactly. For bullshit. For business.
You gotta keep
Halliburton popping.
True, but it's like
Listen, Ronnie. The military is a big business. Big $1 trillion business. You understand? We gotta keep on making these weapons and doing all this shit. You got guys that are going to go overseas and fight enemies that America made, if you want to be honest about this shit. Bin Laden was a good guy when he was fighting Russia and the Soviet Union and them rebels. You know what I'm saying? When Iraq was fighting Iran, Hussein was a good guy. When they go for self, he evil. You understand what I'm saying? So let's get to the whole game of the whole situation. That's why when Trump said what he said, people are mad at him. Not because he said it's so bad, but where it is, he getting off cold. That's what the problem is. A lot of people, he getting off cold.
What was wrong for the statement that he said he knew what he signed up for?
Ronnie, let's be intelligent here. You don't say that type of thing. There's a certain cool and class and dignity, which Donald Trump doesn't have, that you know you say when it's to the wife of someone who just died. We all know what they signed up for. Rather than making it right, like, you know, at least act like you care and shit. You know what I'm saying? But in a perverse way,
that's not Trump.
Of course not, that's not Trump. He doesn't care.
We know that. So why people are going to say...
Because some people had it to get the delusion that the presidency will change him and going to be a semi-decent human being. But, of course, it is what it is. But, see, this is the thing. I'm not that upset about Trump. I like Trump because he's making people wake up to what's going on. And that hopefully there'll be less recruitment of minorities going into the Army or the Navy or the Air Force. We just need to pull out that shit. Let the white man fight his own shit.
Remember that we're dealing with a president who, like a lot of people that are denying science and are denying, he said something along the lines of global warming was a man-made creation by the Chinese because of Hillary Clinton's loss or whatever was the case. And we just had a hurricane hit Ireland in October.
Yeah.
Think about
it. And listen, to be honest, that's fine, but listen, the chickens have come home to roost. America deserves what it gets. You understand? So, fine by my name. But I'm just saying, from a black people's perspective, we need to keep getting what's going on. Then they don't give a damn about us, so why should we give a damn about it? We should pull out, quit, not re-enlist, and take care of our own communities and handle our own business.
Yeah, but I'm still trying to understand that philosophy of yours of quitting the military if we need military. We have one of the strongest military in the world.
Well, so, here's the thing. All the military, listen, we could go over there and kill all them people over there. And what how is that going to help black folk? It don't. Still get treated like shit over here.
But isn't it what the big debate about in the football stadium when they take a knee during the national anthem is for the military? So isn't this all just like an oxymoron or a devil's advocate towards each other?
That knee. All of the bluster that we've seen
to be honest about the knee, that was brought up by a military person to Kaepernick.
Exactly.
Yes, to be honest.
Kaepernick initially wanted to sit for the anthem. And he talked
and let's be honest
Seal.
About it. For all the bullshit America put us through, we should give them the national anthem the middle finger, not the knee, if you want to be honest about this shit.
But there's so many things that have been discussed and that have happened so over the last, 10, 11 months. There's just so many things compounded in that small amount of time that have been attributed to a lot of the attitudes of the current administration and a lot of the attitudes that he believes in and the people that he has surrounded himself with. Most of the people that he surrounded himself with that are in the White House are either from Forbes 500 or Fortune 500 companies or people that have had, like Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State. He's the head of Exxon. You have people that have been around in certain areas that don't have any idea what they're doing as far as the people go. And as you said, Hot Rod, you talked about the military being the strongest out there. Yes, we probably have the strongest military on the earth. And the reason why is because we put so much funding into it. I mean, we're talking like billions and billions of dollars a month.
Nah, trillions
in the military.
Probably.
And the reason why that is because other programs on the docket, like PBS and certain federal funding, they lose money to fund a lot of the government.
Damn that reading shit. We got to blow up shit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if this is the true American way of blowing up or military stuff, and Milton is always on the program, you talk about we need to educate ourselves. What about the area now where we try to educate these young people and they don't listen to us at all? They're too busy listening to mumble rap or social media.
This is the thing. Ronnie, they're not going to listen unless we build businesses and things. You know what I'm saying? As adults, why should the kids listen to us? We ain't got shit. We don't own shit. So why should they listen? You know how they get to listen? Businesses, power. We have none. The power is, listen, the Chinese man owns a Chinese store, a Chinese food store, right? He got the kids working in the store with him. The Arab man or the Hispanic man got the bodega, kids working in with them, training them the way they want to go. You know what I'm saying? The Nigerians or African coming over here, it's the same thing. Black America, we don't have that. We used to have that when we were sixth grader. We didn't got that no more. So, you know what I mean? So we got to get that first. And then we could, have that power to tell the kids what to do.
Man,
you understand?
You have to remember, Hot Rod, to your point, is that the youth won't listen because they don't have the incentive to listen. If you give a young person the incentive to want to listen, because this is what you figure, you have children. At some point, you're going to hand all of this planet to the children that are here now, your children, children's children, whoever. They're going to be the ones that pick up the bill. They're going to be the ones that are going to be dealing with the crazy weather that we're getting, because people don't want to listen to the scientists that have data in front of you that the climate is changing. All that kind of thing, all of those things that are happening now are going to be with your children. You have to give the incentive starting at home with a pure education of everything that you have to be able to teach your children to let them know, here's the information that you need to be able to live in the world that you're going to inherit.
And also, to piggyback on that too, don't depend on the school to teach your kids. You teach your kids. Because at the end of the day, these white one schools ain't going to teach us shit. Only they're going to teach us is how to work for white folk. They're going to teach you about owning your own businesses and making something out of yourself and owning things. And that's where the power comes in. They're going to teach you that. Why should they? Only a fool, in the words of Malcolm X, only a fool will allow his enemy to teach his children. You understand? So we got to take the responsibility on ourselves and build our own shit up and teach our own children.
Well, I do agree that our school system is very crumbled and need a lot of work, something that will never get done. But
well, that's why we got to teach our children ourselves. That's where it comes from.
And Mike Sloan from California said, "What's up to you guys?" But he disagreed with Milton X and Sean Black, of course. But I'm trying to read and talk to you guys at the same time.
Uh-oh.
And Phil the Fishman Fisher said, "Okay, never mind. Let me go back to my question to you guys. What about the stereotypes? Like, you know, we try not to base our lives, our youth, our young black people." On stereotypes, when we see things happening.
Well, here's the thing.
Can you let me finish the damn question for once?
Why not? Wow, that would be boring.
Yes. But, no, see, this is what I'm talking about. Here we are, we arguing about the same old thing, and we have not come up with a solution to teach the young people how to get each other.
The solution is simple. We got to take care of our own. Ain't no one going to do it but us.
But the same thing I've been arguing with you and Max. How? We all know the answer. How to do this? What's the best solution to get this problem situated?
So we have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm good enough. I don't need them. We don't need that shit. None of it. We have to put our race and our people first. The Jews got the blueprint. We just got to follow that, to be honest about it.
You love the Jews, don't you?
I respect them. I don't love them. I respect them.
Sean Black, do you agree?
Well, here's a good blueprint to follow, like Milton basically just stated. One of those things that you have to look at are the people that have the power. There are some African Americans, there are some Hispanics, there are some minorities in general that have power, that reach into not just their own communities, but reach into other communities. And it's a matter of tapping into getting them to come into the inner city and get to the young kids and start with programs. Start with talking to parents, being able to get parents to lift the veil of not just the schooling in general, because you can create black schools all over the place. You still have to be able to get funding to be able to do it. You still have to be able to have parents that will buy in to the ideal that that's going to work. So you have to be able to tap into people within the local community, them to say, well, let's start this particular foundation. Let's get this amount of money and donate it, and then let's let this grow so that we can create a school, you know, like Oprah Winfrey has done overseas in Africa and certain other places
right,
where certain celebrities will go ahead and create schools And it's not specifically a racial thing as far as that goes, but there are very few, if not almost none, in certain areas of the country where African-American, Hispanics can learn about their own culture and grow and use that as something as a basis. So that's one way to work that.
Okay. Well, excuse me. So Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be upset if a white man opened up an all-white school right now and say whites only?
I wouldn't give a fuck.
The reason why that does not happen is because white people, in the way society has become, has had no reason to show white pride. The reason why is because a lot of their upbringing, a lot of what they stand for in society as far as Hollywood and other businesses, they don't have checks and balances to keep them away from getting ahead on just their merit. If this was a complete meritocracy and everybody had a chance to go ahead and say, because of what I'm able to do, I can get that job. If I'm good enough and go to Harvard, or I went to Yale, or I went to Syracuse University, and I did the exact same thing that this person did, we should both have equal opportunity to get that same job that we're going after. But we also know that in the way this world is today, that just is not true. So you have to be able to get past that mental state and see that, okay, the average black person is not going to have the same opportunities, but there are opportunities out there. You just have to find them or make them yourself. And a lot of African-Americans and Hispanics and minorities in general have to work 3-4 times harder to get that exact same opportunity that you see a lot of white people have that are already there for them just because of the way the system has been laid out in a lot of instances. That's not always the case, but that's usually one of the stumbling blocks that a lot of African-Americans and Hispanics and a lot of other minorities that are trying to get ahead have to run into. So they have to get past that part. And that's the hardest part of getting it.
You talk too much, Sean. Last question for Milton S. before we go. Our listener says, very disrespectful to throw out the middle finger to the flag like that. Because that's worse than doing a knee.
So, fuck that flag.
That's
fuck that anthem. Fuck them forefathers. Fuck the Statue of Liberty. Fuck America as a whole. America done basically let me tell you something. America basically took us over here and raped us and shit. And I'm supposed to respect this bitch? No.
Okay.
Mother made it, mother had it, mother fucked it.
Okay, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in.
That was the PG version of Milk and Eggs.
You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know?
Spot on.
Well, you know.
We don't want to hear what he sounds like when he's really upset, okay?
You know?
This is the PG version. I'm being nice. You know?
To be honest, he is very nice tonight. He's calm tonight compared to other nights.
He's calm. But listen, I don't talk. Listen, seriously. I said this shit 4 years ago. I told you this was coming. It's here now. I don't have to say much. It is what it is.
Okay.
The chickens have come home to roost. I'm just letting them roost. And America deserves all of it. All of it. This is karma in spades.
Oh, great. I'm going to get some more hate mail for
that. Trump going to tear this. I don't give a damn. You could just forward it to me. I could care less.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We gotta go. Tune in next week. Have a good night.
You're welcome, Robbie.
God bless America, I guess.
Fuck America.
Yes.
Fuck this.
Oh Lord.
And the pleasure was all Milton X.
It was all yours.
Yes. Exactly. It was all Milton X. See you next time, everyone, guys.
You're welcome.